So good, so good, so good.
Justin and so good. Thousands of winter deals are at Nordstrom Rack stores now. And that means thousands of fresh reasons to rack.
Because we get the latest trends for way less.
I've been looking for these.
The best deals go fast.
Save big with up to 60% off Sam Edelman, Sorel, Free People, Cole Haan, and more cold weather finds. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
And welcome into Amber and Ian here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, alongside the incomparable Ian Fitzsimmons. I am Mark Zeno filling in for Amber Wilson, who is still crushing maternity leave. And I absolutely know she is crushing maternity leave. Happy Veterans Day to all the veterans out there listening. Thank you guys for all your service, everything you've done for this country, and your sacrifice. You could be part of Amber and Ian Nation on the Dr. Pepper call line. Call us at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. It's not college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper. College football, it's a pepper thing. You know what else is a thing right now? The Dallas Cowboys sucking all around. 3-6, a game and a half better than the lowly New York Giants. They've lost three games by more than three touchdowns this year. Nothing is going right in Dallas, and here we are. The wheels are falling off the wagon. You got the owner complaining about the sun. You got players complaining about everything else. It is a hot, steaming pile of cow dung right now, Ian.
Well, before we even get into Cowboys, I want to thank you for not one, but two tours of service for our beloved country. For people who don't know, this is Colonel Mark Zeno of the United States Army, and not once, but twice went overseas to defend our right to be idiots, to be great people, to do whatever you want to do. Right?
For the record, I was defending my own right to be an idiot. Thank you very much. I put myself at the top of the idiot list.
So God bless you, Zeno, man, and,
thank you, baby.
And everything you deal with. I'm proud to call you a friend, man. I really am.
Thank
I mean,
you.
It is an honor to be here with you on Veterans Day. So
I wouldn't want to spend Veterans Day with anybody else other than you.
That's a blatant lie. Now,
yes, it is, but that's here nor there.
To the Dallas Cowboys, man. Look, I make my home in Dallas. My wife's from Dallas, born and raised. You know, went to SMU. I mean, she is, you know, Dallas through and through. And I can't tell you. And having covered the Dallas Cowboys on ESPN Dallas back in the day for many, many years, this is an ongoing thing, Mark. And I feel like I should call you Colonel for the entire night. But look. The players for the Dallas Cowboys have been entitled by Jerry Jones for years and years. We're going on 25 years now, man. They can circumvent the coach and go right to the owner. And we have it yet again with Micah Parsons calling out his head coach. And if you missed it, here it is. Here's a Dallas Cowboys all-pro linebacker just eviscerating his own head coach. Give it a listen.
Mike can leave and go wherever he wants, but the guys, I kind of feel bad for his guys like Zach Martin and guys who might be on their last year or on their way out, you know, because that's who I wanted to hold the trophy for. You know, you want to win games and do great things with those type of legends who put in more time and work than Mike McCarthy ever did. So those are the kind of guys that I have so much sympathy and hurt for.
All right, that last part. Man, Micah, what the hell are you doing, man? I mean, as a colonel,
sure.
Imagine that happened and one of your subordinates says that about you in a public forum. The players for the Dallas Cowboys have been entitled by Jerry Jones for so many years, they get away with saying things like that about their head coach. And, oh, by the way, Micah – Mike McCarthy has something you don't. It's called a Super Bowl ring. You haven't sniffed one, Coach. So, I mean, when you heard that, Mark, what was your reaction?
The inmates are running the asylum, and it is an attitude and a you know, idea that is pervasive throughout the entire organization that everybody has free reign. Look, this is leadership 101, right? Whatever the highest level does, the subordinates will magnify and multiply. That means that they will do it at a higher level, and they will do it to more people, right? Because at the highest levels, the owner can only influence enough people, you know, that are right below him. But when you get 53 guys in a locker room, Micah Parsons reaches 52 other guys. Jerry Jones is in charge of everything, but in reality, he only influences a handful of people. but yet it goes down lower and lower. And this sort of idea, this sort of attitude, and you could tell Mike McCarthy isn't buying into any of it. Why? Because he keeps his mouth shut, he stays in line, and he tries to coach a football team. And he's the guy who's in the middle now, getting sandwiched from both ends, from the owner from the top and the players from below. He's in an untenable situation, and all he's trying to do is coach a football team and win games. And I'm not sitting here saying that Mike McCarthy doesn't deserve some of the blame for things that are going on, because in a certain way, if the players saw and felt more faith in him than they do in the owner, they would be in lockstep, right? They would be in lockstep. We've seen other situations where ownership is bad, but what goes on in the locker room and on the field can still be good if you got the right guys in the right places. But this is just insane at this point in time. And you have an owner who, again, I say it all the time, Jerry Jones wants to be right instead of get it right. He wants to just, he wants to, everybody to tell you, yes, you are right, but that's not getting it right. Getting it right would be to have a harmonious organization that is all in lockstep, like what you see from the Steelers, like what you see from the Ravens, to a certain extent.
The Chiefs, going down the list.
Even the Eagles, to a certain extent. I know Sirianni's a little bit kooky and he's a little bit out there, but for the most part, you know, Howie Roseman and you know, Jeffrey Lurie, they've been in lockstep the whole way, and everything has sort of fallen in line. So this tells me more than anything that we are at the point of complete chaos, and nothing will get better on the field when everybody has their own idea of the way to fix this thing.
You know, there used to be a time before all the podcasts, right, where what happens in the locker room stayed in the locker room. And that is something this morning when you and I were texting back and forth with our producer, James Steele, Rachel Robinson, you know, our associate producer tonight. We have this was one where I damn near came off my couch because I could not agree with Damian Woody, a Super Bowl champion, something Micah Parsons, you ain't got, and that's a ring. And Damian Woody, Pro Bowl offensive lineman, when he was watching and listening to Micah Parsons eviscerate his head coach, Woody went off on Get Up this morning. Give it a listen.
Who the hell Michael Parsons think he is talking like that after a game? Bro, you've been missing all these games with the injury. And last time I checked, the head coach is a Super Bowl winning coach. And I know the season hasn't gone the way that everyone is expected to go and all that. But for you to sit there in the locker room right after your team gets pummeled and to just undress your head coach in that manner. See, that's what's going on with all these podcast boys out here in the locker room. Everybody wants to sit there and they want to, you know, spout and say all this type of stuff. There used to be a time when there's a little bit of respect, a little decorum in the locker room, because at the end of the day, it was about we didn't do enough. All of y'all got your asses kicked, okay? And you're going to go out here and talk about your head coach, basically your head coach not working, not doing anything to try to prepare the team? I just think it's a bunch of BS, man. Yeah. We can sit here and laugh and all that stuff, type of stuff, and be here in shock, but that's disrespectful what Mike Parsons did to Mike McCarthy in that situation, because I know it's not the results that Mike McCarthy wants, but I know that man is busting his ass every single day to try to go out there and get a win. And to hear hear one of your star players come out there and say that, come on, man. Like, I can't ride with that.
No, and I applaud Damian Woody so much, Mark, for saying what he said and with a passion that he said it. Because these coaches, Mike McCarthy's probably going on 4 hours of sleep a night, maybe. Grinding. And for him and for Micah Parsons, in case you are just tuning in, saying that Zach Martin and others work so much harder than Mike McCarthy ever did or does, man, Micah, shut up. And that is from a Super Bowl winning player telling you, keep it in the room. You have a problem with your head coach, Mark? Go to him. Go to his office. Right. Don't air. You don't air that publicly, especially after you just got whooped 34-6 at home yet again.
And the other part of that is, you know, look, far be it for me to tell players not to do podcasts and not to have their own voice, but, we don't need to even get into that. However, does anybody in the Ravens do a podcast? Does anybody in the Steelers do a podcast? Anybody on the Chiefs out there doing? Well, the Kelce brothers do.
Kelce brothers, hold on. They're getting paid
Well, they're getting paid more than they ever did in the NFL to do it, so there's that.
There's the exception to that rule.
You know what they never discuss on that podcast, to my knowledge? I don't know. They don't discuss the games. They discuss pop culture and life and everything else. You know, there's a little bit of football in there. But
they discuss other teams. Like when Jason Kelce said, you know, if Tom Brady yelled at me like that, I would dump truck his butt in a trash can because I'm going
to see we don't see Travis talking about the Chiefs and everything that they do. So
in a negative fashion.
And I bring all that up to say that simply, again, there is a certain mentality within those organizations where it's lockstep. Right? From the top down, from the owner to the GM to the head coach to the quarterback to all the other 52 guys in the locker room, everybody understands what the best way to go about business is and why football is first. You don't see it from those other teams, not because the players don't want to, because they value the organization and winning more than they do their own brand. Because they value they understand their brand is made by winning, right? Not they're out there doing their own thing. And again, I'm not telling players they can't do it. But plain and simple, it's one of those things where if football is the most important thing and winning is the most important thing, then those other things aren't necessary. You got time to do that later. You have time to do it to make money off that stuff later on down the road. It's just not where the focus is. And the Cowboys continue to have the focus on the wrong thing, like, you know, maybe where the sun is. We'll discuss that as well coming up later on. We got a lot more to do here.
You can't make
coming
that part
up next.
Up.
Two teams keep on winning. One of them is really annoying. The other one isn't. I'll tell you about that next. Mark Zeno in for Amber Wilson. It's Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. On the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/network.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds lower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Bond Raider! Bet till your hands bleed.
46-19-1 against the college and pro football number. 4-2 on the weekend. We are due to hit a ditch. And the ditch might hit tonight. I hate this one, but we're going with it. With Colonel Mark Zeno, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. We're going with the Miami Dolphins. We're catching a lowly 2 points out in L.A. Bet to your hands bleed. Miami plus the 2.
This is Amber and Ian's football questions from veterans.
Hi, I'm Anthony Thober, staff sergeant in the Air Force. My question is, do you think the Lions are going to be a Super Bowl contender this year, or are they going to fall short in the playoffs?
All right. Welcome back, Ian. Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. By the way, you know, we were remiss, Ian. Thank you for all your kind words about me. But how could we leave out our producer, James Steele? Also,
Air Force vet. Yeah.
I mean, Air Force, James, really?
Yeah, it's only the Air Force. That's why Ian didn't thank me.
Stop
That's
it.
That's not right.
That hurt, dude.
It's not right.
How often do I thank you? Yes. Come on.
I don't know.
Oh, what? Really? For
he
your
does,
service?
He does for the average listener who might not tune in all the time. He does thank him a lot.
Thank you.
I'll have Ian's back on this one.
Thank you, Rachel. Good. That hurt, James. My gosh. I guess he need to do it a little more often.
Well, we thank our staff sergeant for the question. Look, you know, the Lions, they steal a win last night, mostly because the Texans were wearing stupid uniforms. But that's neither here nor there. You overcome five interceptions from your quarterback. I'm sure ESPN has this. How many times has a team won a game where their quarterback threw five interceptions?
In the last 25 years, I could count them probably on one hand. Not kidding. That was amazing to see what the Lions did yesterday. And look, that Texan squad, that O-line cannot protect C.J. Stroud. In the second half, that Lions defense, it was suffocating.
I hate to say it, but the Texans are a little fugazi this year.
Yeah, no.
They are not as good or as tough as they're not sneaking up on anybody this year like they did last year. Thankfully, they play in the worst division in football. Otherwise, they might have a lot more problems. They get to play the Colts and the Titans twice and the Jaguars. I mean, you know, they are clearly better than those three teams, but they're kind of winning this division by default.
That Lions bunch, when you talk about five turnovers, five free possessions for the other team, there's little shot that you're ever winning a college game, much less an NFL game, having your quarterback throw five picks. Now, look, if you didn't watch the game, I'd say two weren't on him, meaning Jared Goff, Lions quarterback. The other three absolutely were on him. Hell, Mark, if you throw three picks, you typically aren't winning an NFL game against teams that are playoff contenders. The Lions, on the road, overcame five INTs. That is so rare, but it also goes to show you the character, the makeup of that Lions squad. Man, they are truly their identity is their head coach. It doesn't matter what we have to overcome. Let's stick a dippy treat in, have a couple cups of coffee, and go knock the snot out of somebody. That's the Detroit Lions in a nutshell. Yeah. Done.
They're gonna be a real tough out. I mean, they're much better on defense than they were last year. Their run game is very consistent. Obviously, Goff, with the exception of last night, you know, has done a very good job of taking care of the football. You kind of worry a little bit. I still worry about them on the road because of Jared Goff and his home road splits throughout his career. Beyond that, there's not many weaknesses on that team. If they don't beat themselves, you're not beating them.
They are so impressive. They really are. And to overcome all of that and get a win on the road against, again, a playoff contender out of the AFC, beyond impressive. Now, to the Kansas City Chiefs, Mark.
Yeah.
Ugly, nasty, disgusting game. Mm-hmm. Yet, all three phases. Mm-hmm. It takes all three phases. Offense, defense, special teams. The offense didn't show up. 16 points on the board for Kansas City. Yet, what wins them the game? The third phase. Dave Tobe is their special teams coordinator, is a legend in the coaching profession. And the way they dialed up that field goal block where Leo Chenal comes through and blocks the kick as time expires against the Denver Broncos to hold on and win 16-14. Zeno, come on, man. You can't make this up. Great teams, to me, don't have an identity. They just find ways to win. The Lions are one of those teams. They just found a way to win. The Chiefs, do they have an identity? Not this year. They really don't. They just found a way to win. It was not pretty. It was nauseatingly ugly to watch. If you're a Broncos fan, you're going, how in the hell did that happen? But give Dave Tobe, you know, and the special teams coach and the Chiefs a hell of a lot of credit. They found a way to win a nauseatingly ugly game.
I'll say two things. Number one, if the guy on the Chiefs didn't block it, somebody else would have. There was like five guys in the backfield on that kick. Like, that was an awful job by the Broncos protection unit on that field. Like, that was ridiculous. I mean, there was more red in front of Will Lutz than there was. I think the Broncos were wearing white. It was embarrassing. You know, they wouldn't burn that tape, but God, study it because you need to get better. Beyond that, you mentioned that the Chiefs' offense, the Chiefs' offense hasn't showed up in a year and a half. Honestly, I know James is going to get upset when I say
that. I hit up the studio. You're good.
I know.
Right now.
That is not an offense that should scare anybody, period. There's nothing threatening about that offense. I get it. They won a Super Bowl without Tyreek Hill, but the explosiveness is gone from that offense. It doesn't scare anybody. And somehow they keep finding ways to win. I have to give them credit. I can't take it away from them. Good teams, good breaks. They make good breaks. Okay, all those things are true. But it's really annoying at this point in time that teams keep sort of handing this back to the Chiefs on a routine basis.
Here's Patrick Mahomes, Chiefs quarterback, on an ugly, nasty day offensively.
Yeah, I mean, they all feel like wins. I've learned that any way you win is good in this league. Obviously, there's stuff to learn from. Thought we did good things and good spots. I missed if I make the touchdown throw to Trav and I make the touchdown throw to Worthy, we're probably in a different situation. So just got to execute in the red zone when you're playing a good defense. And if you make those two throws, we're not relying on the block by Leo.
Man, look, it was nasty. It was hideous. It was ugly. But you have to give 9-0 a hell of a lot of credit. All the credit in the world. They are undefeated, and they win in so many different ways, Mark. And that, to me, is the mark of a great team. You truly don't have an identity. It's either your defense. Sometimes it's your offense. Sometimes your special teams have to come through, and that's what happened yesterday against Denver.
Again, you can't take anything away from 9-0. But I keep telling everybody, somebody's going to get those guys. And it's going to happen in the postseason. Because you
Buffalo
can't
this week?
Keep...
Buffalo?
Well, I mean, listen. Buffalo versus KC this week is the pros versus Joe's side of the world. Every public schmo is going to be on KC getting points this week. And what does KC never do during the regular season? Beat Buffalo. Right? I mean, that
James Kansas Steele?
City, James Steele. Kansas City never beats Buffalo during
Air
the regular
Force
season.
Air Force bet?
I mean, the last couple years, they haven't beat Buffalo. But it's not...
Yeah.
Hey,
I know
hey,
you don't
I know.
Care. I know you don't care. But it's going to be a lot of fun this week watching the best quarterback in the NFL beat Kansas City.
Sure. That's what you guys were saying in the playoffs last year. They had to go to Buffalo. They're going to lose to Buffalo. Oh, no. Had to go to Baltimore. Had to lose to Buffalo. Oh, no. Someone's going to get him.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get Herm Edwards coming up next. Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
Yo, hockey's here, and it's colder than ice, like cold, cold. But with BetMGM, I can heat the game up with overs, unders, parlays, and moneyline, all from the comfort of my 102-degree hot tub. Now I'm really putting fire on the ice. This hockey season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Arizona called 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts 1-800-327-5050. Iowa 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico called 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod.
Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Tell that smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. Mark Zeno in for Amber Wilson alongside Ian Fitzsimmons. Happy Veterans Day to all the vets out there. I can't help but not think of Forrest Gump when I hear this.
Every
right?
time.
Because this is
Every
the scene
time.
Where him and Bubba, they yeah. land in Vietnam, you know, and it just brings you right there.
Don't salute me.
Yeah, that's right. Ah, good stuff. Always good
Lieutenant
stuff.
Lieutenant Dan.
Happy Veterans Day to everybody.
Yeah, Lieutenant Dan. Don't salute me. There's a sniper out there. Mate would love to take a shot at any officer. You guys
yep,
related?
There it is. No.
We are not relations,
sir. We are not relations, sir. There we go. right, let's welcome in Herm Edwards, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us here. Herm, welcome. Thank you so much for your time tonight. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you. Appreciate you both.
Hey, Coach.
All right.
Micah Parsons. Man, when you saw him call out Mike McCarthy like that, how would you handle it?
Well, I thought Mike spoke on the matter. I think it's a shame for Michael Parsons in the fact that, you know, it's one thing to his opening statements. I understood his opening statements very well, but I thought his closing remarks were the one that kind of caught me by surprise.
Yep.
When he had indicated that Mike McCartney doesn't work hard. Well, I do know this. That was a lack of professionalism. That was a guy that's not aware of a coach's schedule. And I know this as a former coach, as a former player. And the thing I've realized is that when you choose to go in this profession, it's like when you go to Las Vegas. There's no clock when you come in the morning. There's no clock. You work until the work's done that day. And I know for me professionally, I had young daughters when I took on another job as a professional football coach and a head coach. And there was at least 3 to 4 days a week that I saw my daughters sleeping in the morning when I left. And when I got home at night after 12 at times, a lot of times, they were still asleep. And that's how I saw them. And so for him to question that, that's the problem I had with it all. And, you know, when you're losing, obviously, there's a lot of things players say emotionally. But he has no idea of what the hours the coaches work.
When you see sort of the dysfunction of what Mike McCarthy has to deal with, we talked about it before. You know, you're getting it from both ends as the coach. You're getting pressed down from the owner. You're getting pushed back from the players on the way up. Like, you know, when your owner doesn't seem and your players don't seem to be in lockstep with you, how much harder does it make your job as a coach? I mean, you're dealing with chaos on both ends.
Well, you know, but that's a coaching profession, and you get it. You're just hoping that, you know, when you go through some hard times, that you come together as an organization and that the organization backs the coach, you know, and understands, you know, you're dealing with them. Jerry Jones has been an owner for a long time. He's had a lot of great years, and he's had some years that have gotten away from his football team. And I think at the end, you know, whether Mike stays or goes, I think the issue for me, if I was a coach and I was taking that job, the question I would ask Jerry Jones is, look, we need to do some things to get in some players here. And are you willing to trade Michael Parsons?
Would you?
For me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt. He'd be gone.
Why?
Wow.
He'd be gone. Because I just think a guy like that, because of his talent, and he's very talented, I just think you got to send a message to your organization that this is about team. And the things we do here and say here, they stay here in this building. They don't leave the building. And that's just the code of conduct in any sports team. You know, when you're in the locker room, man, you're together. This is a family. And you might disagree. You know, families disagree all the time. But you don't bring it out to the masses where it becomes a conversation of how to try to fix your family, because we all got opinions how to do this, right? And every fan will say, oh, do this. It becomes a mess. And so you don't do that. I mean, you don't discipline. You don't go out and ask people, well, how should I discipline my children? that's children in your house. You do what you need to do. Right. That's what I learned from my dad. He said, I'm going to discipline. I don't need no help from somebody else.
Yes, Herm Edwards, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us here in Amber and Ian. Coach, if I told you heading into a game your quarterback was going to throw 5 interceptions and you'd still win the game, would you believe me?
Yeah. No. Anyway, I get it. The one was a Hail Mary, but this Detroit Lions team is really playing at a different level. And I know there was a comparison today. I was on SportsCenter, and they said, who's the best team? And I know I'm going to get blasphemy from the former team I worked for and gave me my first job in the NFL even before I became a head coach of Kansas City Chiefs. And I said, right now, when I look, my eyeballs tell me that the Detroit Lions are the best team right now. When you just look at your eyeballs. And if you took the helmets off and the logos off and you watch those teams play, you'd go, there's one team over here. They're really good. And last time I checked, Detroit Lions played the Kansas City Chiefs last year, and they beat them in Arrowhead.
You know, Herm, elaborate a little bit more on that, because Kansas City found a way to win. With that thing, and you know how special teams are near and dear to my heart with my brother coaching teams with Jay Harbor out there with Seattle. The Chiefs found a way to win with the third phase of the game. The Lions found a way to overcome five INTs by their quarterback.
Yes.
What does that say about those two teams and those franchises right now?
It says that this team, the players and the coaching staff, never give in to the situation. They never give in to the situation. They just continue to just play. And they, as long as there's time on the clock, we still got a chance. And that's how they play. When you watch them play, it's fun to watch them because they both do it different ways. We know the Chiefs have the best quarterback in captivity. And we know the Detroit Lions, I think they sometimes don't get the credit for the type of athletes they have on offense and defense. They're very skilled, and I think what has helped them, Aaron Glenn has done a fabulous job with his defense. They're much improved from last year. So this is what I see when I just watch it.
Coach, similar to European soccer, if we had to relegate one team, the Jets or the Giants, who should we do it to? Because they're both really kind of embarrassing at this point in time.
The Cowboys. Can we throw the Cowboys in there?
If we had to relegate somebody to USFL, which one we doing, Jets or Giants?
Oh, I tell you what, it's a shame that when you know, and then I know this is I had the great opportunity and the honor of coaching a team in New York. When New York teams aren't playing good, boy, it's not good in any sport. That is the media capital of the world, and when you have both teams that are not playing well, it's just people are already mad in New York. Every time they wake up, they're trying to get to work on subways. I mean, it's a mess. And when your sports teams start playing on the weekend,
I feel offended as a New Yorker.
I'm just saying, you want to go home and enjoy it, and you're like, and your team's losing too. You say, even my weekend's not any fun right now because the team's losing.
Man, that's unfair, but it's fair. I get it.
It's the truth, man. I lived there for 5 years. I'm like, these people—they don't even speak. They don't even speak. I got on the subway one day, and I go, these people don't even talk, man. They just kind of look down and look at the newspaper. I'm like, I'm used to talking. You know, one guy was on the subway the first time. Coach, what you doing on here? I said, I was just coming on here just ride the subway. I'm a West Coast guy. I don't get to ride the subway. I'm just trying to check it out. You know, unbelievable.
It truly is. Hey, what do you make of what you're seeing right now with that NFL ninja known as Mike Tomlin and what he's doing right now with the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Well, you know, it's funny because I can remember when the season started and everybody said, what are they doing? They got Fields and they got Russell Wilson. And when you got – here's the old saying. When you got two quarterbacks, you don't have any quarterback. And what are the Steelers going to do? And Mike Tomlin says, okay. And then all of a sudden, a game or two goes by and he goes, hey, Russell Wilson's a starter. And everybody, why? What? Russell Wilson is cooking. That's why. And they went out and got a guy, Mike Williams. They got him off the bus and said, hey, man, run a fade route and catch a touchdown. And Russell Wilson laid it up there and he caught a touchdown. And it's kind of funny, huh? Great coaches know their team better than anybody else. And Mike Tomlin is going to be a Hall of Fame football coach. He has this team playing extraordinarily well right now. We knew they were a good defensive team, but now Russell Wilson, the one thing he could always do, similar to my guy in Washington, Jaden Daniels, throws the ball very accurate down the field. And that's Russell Wilson. That's what he was when he was in Seattle. They had a great run offense. He doesn't play action. He wants to throw the ball down the field, and he had a defense to back him up. That's the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Amen. Ain't no doubt about it. And for people just tuning in, you mentioned at the start of this conversation that if you were Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, you would trade Micah Parsons at the end of the season. Again,
no.
For people just tuning in, go ahead and reiterate.
No. Jerry Jones doesn't want to trade him. No. I know that. Jerry Jones likes stars, and he's a great player. But I'm saying if they decide to go in a different direction with a new coach, that is the conversation that the new coach should have with his owner. Now, you're obviously going to have a conversation with Parsons as well and say, hey, look, you know, we got to talk about the situation that just happened here with you and the head coach. That's a no-no what he did. That's a lack of professionalism, period, guys. And I'm saying this not as a coach, as a freaking player, man, okay, as a player. I was in that league. I had the honor of playing and coaching in the National Football League for over 30 years. And the one thing I always knew about the National Football League, football in period, sports in general, your team is your team, man. And things that happen in rooms or all that other stuff, you may argue like a family in the room, but it don't leave the room. And Michael Parsons got to figure that out. I don't care. He's a star. I get all that being a star. But guys like that, you got a problem when things are going bad. Because what is he talking to his teammates about? It ain't about winning. It's about everybody's fault.
Coach, real quick, 30 seconds or so. NFC West, I still think it's the 49ers division, but I can't help but be impressed with Kyler Murray and the Cardinals at this point.
They're the sneaky Cardinals, and all they do is keep winning. 49ers haven't beat them this year, by the way. I do think the 49ers are coming. The one thing they don't do right now, the 49ers, they're struggling in the red zone. That can come back and bite them. They got to get that fixed now. They got the running back, which helps them. But they're struggling offensively in the red zone.
CMC should take care of that. He is Herm Edwards, ESPN NFL analyst. Coach, thanks for the time tonight. We appreciate it as always.
My pleasure, man. Thank you.
All right, coming up next, our top three takeaways from this weekend. Don't go anywhere. It's Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio.
In the world of football, one name stands above the rest. Nick Saban, a legend known for building dynasties on the gridiron. And in the world of interior paint, Bear Dynasty is a legend in its own right. It's the best of Bear, with everything you want in a paint, all in one can. And it's available exclusively at the Home Depot. Just like Nick Saban's powerhouse defense, Bear Dynasty defends your walls with unmatched stain repellency and scuff resistance. And with one coat coverage, you'll be able to complete your painting project and bask in your team's colors before kickoff. Defend your walls and your game time with Bear Dynasty interior paint at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Valid only when tinted to colors from the Bear Dynasty and Marquee Interior One Coat Hide Color Collection.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
This is Amber and Ian's
180
Football Questions from Veterans.
Hey, Richard Gerber, Master Sergeant, United States Air Force, POL. With NFL players and NFL coaches dedicating every second of the day, every day of their lives to this craft that is the NFL, and that being the expectation, why does the NFL still allow part-time people to officiate these games? These are affecting contracts, the calls for no touchdowns, touchdowns, games being won and lost on terrible calls. You know, like I said, this is affecting coaching careers, players, contracts, legacies. How much longer can we go before, you know, we go full-time referees? Thank you guys very much. Have a good one.
Happy Veterans Day from everybody here at Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. Mark Zinnerman for Amber Wilson alongside Ian Fitzsimmons. All of our questions courtesy of the Dr. Pepper call in line here with our vet questions here. And
great question, but they are full-time.
They are full-time. A couple of years, like 3 or 4 years ago, they were made full-time. They have a union. You know, to his point, though, whether they're full-time or part-time, the NFL continues to sort of be okay with mediocre officiating at best. And things that happen. Last night in the game, there was one of the worst completion calls I've ever seen. On that one pass in the first quarter that clearly bounced off the ground. And the refs all stood there and looked at each other as if to say, what happened? Oh, we'll just call it a catch. I mean, it's bad, Ian. And it's frustrating that it happens within 2 or 3 yards of where they're standing at times.
That's the most frustrating part. And it's not just the NFL. It's also college, where I'm standing on a sideline. I'm going, okay, you saw something completely different than I saw. And I'm not saying I could ever be an official. There is no way I could do it. but there are sometimes obvious calls that are missed. But they are full-time now, but they also all most, I would say 9 out of 10, have other jobs, whether they're an attorney or an insurance salesman or they own a business, whatever it might be. They are not compensated enough to just be officials. And I think that's the purpose of the call from that particular Air Force vet.
Or they're like Ed Hockley and just spend all day long in the gym working on their biceps. That's also something else.
Or Steve Hockley working on his German.
On his German, yeah. Both all things that are not necessary to be a good official. All right, let's get to our top three takeaways from the weekend.
This is The List.
You know what? You just made The List.
The List with Amber and Ian. Number three.
All right, I'm going to go Micah Parsons, and we've talked a lot about it, but Micah, I'm going to keep this short, sweet, and simple. You don't call out the boss, and that's the problem with the Dallas Cowboys. The players are entitled. They can go around the head coach to their owner and Jerry Jones. It's been that way for a quarter century. Micah Parsons says Zach Martin's worked 10 times harder, basically, than Mike McCarthy ever has, having a brother in coaching. Hey, Micah, these guys don't see their families for 6 months. Check yourself, Hoss. Check yourself, 11, because you have no idea what you're talking about.
All right, my first takeaway. I want to caveat this by saying this isn't a shot. This isn't a negative. This is just probably what I think is the reality, and that is that the Washington Commanders are one and done when it comes to the playoffs. For the second time this season, they've had to step up in class against a superior opponent with a good defense. They did it against the Ravens and lost. They did it against the Steelers and lost. It's a young team. They're on the rise. There's a lot to be excited about. But that's a team that is going to go on the road for their first playoff game. Well, let me rephrase that. I'm sorry. They're going to be at home because they won a division. But they are going to lose to a team that is probably better than they are when they step up in class.
Number two Yep, sorry, go ahead.
Number two.
Yep, there we go. Right there, Miss Rachel. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to step on you. The Ole Miss Rebels are going to be a legit squad in the college football playoff as far as a team to deal with. Their two losses, combined total at 8-2, still single digits, and they just punked the number three team in the country and the Georgia Bulldogs without their starting running back, Henry Parrish, who ain't coming back, without Trey Harris, an All-American wide receiver, who may not be back, and down two offensive linemen, and still found a way to win in a downpour 28-10. Watch out for the Ole Miss Rebels.
My second one is similar to my first, in that the real Sam Darnold has finally showed up, and the Minnesota Vikings are going to be in trouble. What happened in September was the aberration. It was the mirage. The real Sam Darnold is back, and I have absolutely no faith in the Minnesota Vikings. They may still make the playoffs. They probably will. But that is another team that I think is one and done when it comes to the postseason.
Number one.
I'm going to go, and this is way off the radar. I'm going with a long snapper for the San Francisco 49ers and Tabor Pepper, who defended his kicker when Debo Samuel comes over and is mother-ruining, going, get your head on straight to the kicker after missing three kicks. What does the long snapper do? And Tabor Pepper come right back at Debo going, hey, back the bleep off. You ain't helping. Debo kind of pushes him in the neck. And then all of a sudden, 6'4", 250 of Tabor Pepper comes right after his teammate and Debo Samuel going, you want some? And the mother ruse started flying, and Debo starts walking away, looking over his shoulder going, is he still following me? Is he still following me? Is he still following me? Yeah. Hey, Tabor Pepper wanted every bit and more of some Debo Samuel. Hey, Debo, you ain't helping going after the kicker. And if you drop a touchdown pass, is the kicker coming over to you telling you to get your head on straight? No, you weren't helping. You came after him. And the long snapper, Tabor Pepper, 6'4", 250, said, I ain't having it. Man, that was my number one from the weekend. Hell yeah, Tabor. Add a little salt with that pepper on Debo Samuel.
I got to tell you before I give you my last one, Deebo Samuel is my hero. I've wanted to do that to kickers and long snappers for over a decade. I hate them all. They're the worst humans on the planet. I despise kickers. I've wanted to shove a kicker for as long as I can remember. That's not my number one takeaway, though.
My number one takeaway is special teams for the Seahawks, right?
I get it. Does he know how bad of humans kickers are? They're absolutely the worst people I've ever met. Beyond that.
Have you ever met one?
There are four undefeateds left in college football. All the pressure is on those teams. Be ready for some chaos and teams to end up losing or being in much tighter games than you expect them to be as undefeated. It's going to be interesting down the stretch. That's my final takeaway from the weekend. All right, coming up next. Oh, guess what time it is? Lance Taylor, LT, going to join us. We'll get some picks in.
Name me a kicker you've met. Who have you met? Name me one.
Younghoe Koo. I met him when he played in the AAF and actually interviewed him and had to tell him how much I hate kickers. Sorry. Lance Taylor's next. ESPN Radio, the ESPN app.